I love New Smyrna Beach. There's so many things to love about it. I mean, I love you. I love this church. I love this community. But I also love the nightlife. I love the places to go dancing downtown. I know I don't wear this robe, but I do go dance in Deborah, and I love to hang out down there. And there's a story that I love about one of the places down on Flagler. It's one of those places that has a band that comes in, and they do a lot of great music, a lot of jazz and things like that. And they were notorious for having the worst piano in town. Deb, no. I mean, everybody hated it. The bands that would come in would talk to the owners and say, you know, you can replace this. Get us a new piano. This thing stinks. He said, no, it's fine. It's fine. I mean, even the people that just to listen to it, they complained to him and said, that thing is really terrible. The band is a great band, but that piano is terrible. And the owner said, oh, yeah, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Well, finally, it got so bad and the complaints were so great that the owner finally did something about it. He had the piano painted. Yeah. A young couple attended church, listened to their pastor, and late one afternoon they happened to find him, and they were just kind of chatting, and the couple had a question for him. There were times in their lives when they were filled with doubts, and they heard the gospel message each week, and they believed in it, but there were other times when they felt that they were not really changed by that gospel message. They'd come to church, and they would hear the message, but maybe it wouldn't really impact them. And the pastor smiled and signifying that he understood where they were coming from. He addressed their doubts this way. He said, where do you all live? They said, oh, we live in Edgewater. Okay, well, that's great. He said, but I got to tell you, you got an accent, so I know you're not from Edgewater. Because I don't know if anybody's actually from Edgewater. I know there's some, but probably not many. And he says, you come from someplace else. Where are you from? And the man said, Kentucky. You're right. I'm from Kentucky. He said, well, that's great. Were you born there? Yep, I was born and raised in Kentucky. Woman said, yep. We go back there quite often and see our family and visit with them several times a year. And having traveled back and forth a lot, the pastor says, do you think you know the way? And they said, of course we do. In fact, the man said, I go back and forth so many times, I think the car could do it by itself, but certainly I could do it blindfolded. And I'd say, well, okay, I've made that trip many, many times. But he asked him, if any of your friends here in Edgewater wanted to go to Kentucky, would you be able to tell them how to go? And he said, absolutely I could, no problem. He said, suppose that one of your friends asked for those directions, would you hide anything? Or would you try to give the best explanation to them possible to make it very, very clear? And they said, well, we would always try to give the best directions possible. Can you guarantee that those people will be able to get to Kentucky by your instructions? And they said, only if they follow those instructions carefully. Now, there was some deep wisdom in what the pastor wanted the young couple to understand. People keep coming to church, he said, because they trust that Christ has changed my life and can change their life too. From his experience, however, the pastor knew that there were some members of the congregation who simply just nod their heads in agreement, but never really allow the gospel to impact their lives. They are satisfied by simply painting the piano. They will never take the necessary steps to change the way that they really need to change. Now, we hear this story of Nicodemus. One of my very first sermons was, I'll date it because the title of it was The Original Nick at Night. Yeah, do you all remember Nick at Night? Is it still on? I mean, Wilson is 17, he'll be 18 this week. Yeah, he doesn't watch Nick at Night anymore. I don't even know if it's on, but Nick at Night. Nicodemus, he was a religious leader of the Jewish faith. High-ranking Pharisee, a member of the Sanhedrin, which is the ruling council of the Jewish people. He knew all about the law, and most certainly he lived his life as best he could to the letter of the law. It's believed that Nicodemus was from a wealthy family. He was a good guy, a solid citizen. Any community would be happy to have Nicodemus in their community. But there was something about Jesus that intrigued him. Despite his devotion to the law, he felt that maybe there was something that he was missing. Maybe this Jesus had that something. So at night, when all the people who had been following him had gone home, Nicodemus meets with Jesus one-on-one. He did not have any antagonism towards Jesus. It's very clear that he wasn't trying to trap him or to be negative about him. He really was someone who's just curious. He says, we know that you are a teacher come from God. He tells Jesus, nobody can do what you do. We have all seen it. Unless they come from God. He recognizes who Jesus is. Someone very special. He believed that Jesus was sent by God and he wanted to find out more about him. Because you see, there comes a time when we must claim Jesus as our own. We can no longer put him off. You have to engage this wonderful gospel, this story of this man who died for you. And so Nicodemus came by the cover of darkness to speak with the master. And being a respected leader of Judaism, he had to be careful. He had to be careful who he was seen with. And so he felt safe as he made his way through the darkness to meet with Jesus. He hoped Jesus would help him to fill that void that he was feeling in his life. And Jesus tells him, very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. And, well, Nicodemus heard those words, but he misunderstood. How can anybody be born again having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? No. Nobody can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit, Jesus says. Then there comes a time, folks, when we need to acknowledge Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. You can only put him off so long. But you must make a decision. Sooner or later, you must make a decision. I went to a training event one time. I was listening to some people, and they were asked, tell us about your life. Tell us about the things that you're proud of. Tell us some high points. And there were like 40 people there. Only one person mentioned that they were a Christian. Isn't that sad? That you would be so hesitant to play it safe and not acknowledge that you are a follower of Jesus Christ? Henry Nouwen reflected on the story of Nicodemus. Henry Nouwen was a great writer, great thinker, great theologian, and we love him. But he wrote these words. He said, I love Jesus, but want to hold on to my own friends even when they do not lead me closer to Jesus. I love Jesus, but want to hold on to my own independence even when that independence brings me no real freedom. I love Jesus, but do not want to lose the respect of my professional colleagues even though I know that their respect does not make me grow spiritually. I love Jesus, but do not want to give up my writing plans, travel plans, speaking plans, even when these plans are often more to my glory than to the glory of God. Upon reflection, Nouwen realizes that he isn't all that different from Nicodemus. He writes, so I am like Nicodemus, who came by night and said safe things about Jesus to his colleagues. So even this great Christian thinker, Henry Nouwen, is sometimes content to just paint the old piano. There's an element of Nicodemus in each one of you. It's always easier to play it safe. It's always easier to keep Jesus off at the distance than to call him the Lord of your life. We need to know, however, that we cannot always put him off. We also need to know that there comes a time when we must claim that faith for ourselves, because you see, faith is not something that you can borrow. For faith to be genuine, it has to be your own. Harry Emerson Fosdick once said, so many church members are second-hand Christians. They have inherited it from their families, borrowed it from their friends, married it, taken it over like the cut of their clothes from the fashion of their group. Jesus calls us to be first-hand Christians whose faith is alive as our Savior is alive. But Nicodemus struggled with what Jesus told him. Again, Jesus said, you must be born from above. And Nicodemus listened but still did not understand or did not want to understand. So he asked Jesus, how can these things be? He knew deep in his heart that only a person sent by God could do the things that Jesus did. He'd seen, he'd heard what Jesus had done, yet he was spiritually blind. And he's standing there right in the presence of Jesus, right in the presence of God that night. And Jesus told him, very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we've seen, but you do not receive it. Jesus told Nicodemus the truth, but Nicodemus did not commit his life. The time comes for each of us when we have to claim the faith for ourselves. Faith is not something you can borrow from somebody else. For faith to be genuine, it has to be your very own. David Seamans remembers talking with a salesman with the used car lot. He stood there and he watched this guy out on the parking lot. You all have seen this, right? This fellow's walking from car to car and he's kicking the tires, you know. And the salesman, his buddy, was there. He says, yeah, we've seen him before. He comes in about every week or so. And he kicks the tires and he gets into the car and we give him the key and he cranks it up and he listens to the engine. And there's always something wrong, you know. It's either got a knock in it or something's not right. It's running a little bit rough. And the finish on the car isn't quite. There's a little flaw here and there. He's always looking for something that is wrong. He always comes and he finds something that is wrong. And what he's always looking for is an excuse. He never wants to make up his mind. In the cover of darkness, there is Nicodemus besides Jesus. Jesus tells him the truth about being born again by the water and the Spirit. Part of him wanted to believe, but another part of him wanted to just kick the tires. Find some reason. Find an excuse why you cannot give your life to Christ. Why you can't make this gospel message your own. There's always something wrong. You know what the number one thing wrong is? You. I cannot tell you how many people have told me, oh yeah, I'd become a Christian if it wasn't for the Christians. Yeah, I mean, you know, who is it that said, I can't remember. He said, I would be more like to become a Christian if you all looked like you believed what you say you believe. And too often, we're the stumbling block for people. Nicodemus comes to Jesus. He finds a stumbling block. What is yours? What is yours? Because sooner or later, you cannot live on borrowed faith. You must make that faith your own. The greatest need is to surrender finally and fully to Jesus Christ. This conversation went on between Jesus and Nicodemus. And certainly this great Jewish leader would understand a comparison with Moses. Nicodemus knew all about Moses and the Exodus. And Jesus told Nicodemus, just as Moses was lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. Nicodemus knew this. He recalled the time in the desert when Moses lifted up a serpent on a pole for all the people to see. And when the people saw the serpent high on the pole, their thoughts turned to God. And the power of God, by the power of God, they were healed. In the same way, Jesus told Nicodemus that he, the Christ, would soon be lifted up. By faith in him, could all who seek find hope for their lives. Mother Teresa was interviewed on an American television show long before she died, and she said, it is very, very important that the families teach their children to pray and for them to pray with them. Then she said, and we have enough reason to trust God because when we look at the cross, we understand how much Jesus loved us. It is wonderful to be able to come to Jesus. That's why God gave him to us as the bread of life, because it gives us life. And with his life comes new life, new energy, new peace, new joy, new everything. And I think that that's what brings glory to God. Also, it brings peace. And then she said, I've seen families suffer so much. And when they've been brought to Jesus, it changes their whole life. I've also seen lives changed by the power of the cross. Have you? There was a woman, her name was Kathy, and she was a happy lady, but She unfortunately developed a cancer that was very aggressive. And she's in her hospital room, and the days are getting short. The pastor didn't know what to do. And she said, I just wish that I could be with God, that the pain would go away, that I could see God. And so the pastor went to the church, and he picked this up. And he carried it to the hospital. I can see the guy in the elevator, you know. And people are like, where did he get that? How many of you have one of these in your house? And he put it in the windowsill so that as she looked out the window, that's what she saw. And to the day that she took her final breath, that is what she saw. The cross of Christ, that which gives all of us hope. He said, and she looked at the cross, and he said, I brought this for you. And she said, for me? He put it there, and for the last 2 days of her life, it gave her strength and indescribable comfort. Our faith and our strength come from the cross of Jesus Christ. For through the cross, we see that God loved us so much. Through the cross, we receive that eternal word. We cannot put him off. We cannot live on borrowed faith. It is time that we do more than just paint the piano. It's time for us to surrender to the power of the cross. There is a promise for us in the closing words of the story of Nicodemus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. For the Son came into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. It is the moment of decision. Now, in good Presbyterian form, we don't have altar calls, although we could. But it may be time for you in your spiritual journey to give your life once again, to surrender once again. One of the things in my life, as many of you know, I'm diabetic. I've been diabetic for 45 years, so I'm good at it, really, really good at it. But every time that you bring out pecan pie, particularly it has chocolate in it, it's chocolate pecan pie, which is the tool of Satan. I am sure that for me, that is somebody, Now, the truth is, though, every time that I'm tempted, I have to surrender to the fact that, no, that's not for me. That's not for me. And that's a simple thing. What is it in your life that holds you back from giving yourself over and over and over? What is that thing that you hold back close to yourself and you say, you know, I'll give you everything, but I won't give you that. I want to give my life to you. I want to serve you. I want to be the person you want me to be, but I don't want to give you that. Jesus calls you to surrender that, not just to paint the piano, but a whole new instrument, a whole new life. So if you want to do that and you want to talk to somebody about it, I'm right here, and I will tell you my story and how I surrender my life and how I surrendered it many years ago, and we share those stories together, and frankly, folks, it gives us strength. I can tell you where Kentucky is. I can tell you how to get there. Let us pray. Our Father, we are all on a journey, and for some of us, the journey seems long and it is difficult. For others, it seems like they've got it all together, but the truth is none of us do, because we only get there by surrendering ourselves to you. So whomever in this congregation today needs to do that once again, to surrender themselves to your will, to let go of that thing that is hurting them, that thing that keeps them from full life in you, we ask you to touch their hearts. Give them the courage and the conviction that they need. And allow all of us to celebrate the birthday of yet another one of your beloved children. A beloved child that you died to redeem. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.